What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to the WAN Show. We've got a fantastic show lined up for you today.
Yes.
Obviously, the big launch this week was the Valve Steam Deck. I've got one here. Now we can talk about everything that was in our video, everything that wasn't in our video. Luke can actually share some of his thoughts since we're not afraid of breaking embargo. So you got a short hands-on with him, but that was it. He otherwise hasn't touched it. So
I was going to say, I've used it for like 5 seconds.
Yeah, we can get Luke's fresh impressions of the Steam Deck.
Yeah.
In other news this week.
Tons of stuff. Everything's going crazy.
Yeah, the chip shortage could get a lot worse. Turns out 90% of the neon used in U.S. semiconductors comes from, drumroll, Ukraine. That's not good for a variety of reasons.
In completely unrelated news, Sony's PlayStation VR 2 is we got some like little sneak peeks going on there, and also, man, there's a lot of topics that I don't know if I want to go into. You can't get copyright protection for AI produced works in the U.S. Actually, kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Raises a lot of questions.
That raises more questions than it answers, I think.
Yeah.
Like, when is he ever going to roll the intro?
Who knows? We should do a straw poll at some point to see what percentage of people that did buy the Steam Deck have received their email.
Oh, I'm super down.
I just saw a bunch of people post in the chat, like, haven't received my email, haven't received my email. And I'm really wondering, because like, I've told you, I ordered mine during the show.
Yeah.
I have not received my email. And I suspect like a lot of people haven't.
I mean, I suspect that they have pre-sold literally millions of units, and I also suspect that finished units are going to be rolling out in batches of thousands.
Yeah.
Not hundreds of thousands, not even tens of thousands. I would be very surprised if they're able to ship even 1 million units at once.
So in Floatplane chat, I signed up a month ago. I'm getting my email in 2025.
Well, pretty much, especially with everything that's going on right now, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So let's go ahead. I'm going to hit the Floatplane chat with this poll first. Boopity boop boop boop. You guys got it. Twitch has got it. And I'm going to make a commitment to you guys because it's been a little while since this has happened. I'm going to make it through an entire WAN show without saying or doing anything controversial.
Okay.
That's right. I've had enough controversy in my life, and this is going to be the most mild-mannered, timid Linus that you have seen in a very long time.
Okay.
Why don't we start with a non-controversial discussion about the Steam Deck? It's officially launched, and the general consensus is that so far, it's awesome. Polygon says, the Steam Deck is my new favorite console. Gizmodo says, Valve Steam Deck is a glorious but unfinished dream console. Digital Foundry, console quality handheld gaming, believe it. The Steam Deck is incomplete, says Linus Tech Tips. Wait, what? Am I quoting my own publication?
That's actually pretty interesting.
That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever
seen. That's very meta.
Anthony's the one who put it in here, though, so it doesn't count as me quoting myself. But what I meant by all that,
when you say it,
is that the software is both polished and unpolished depending on where you look. Because objectively speaking, it is not finished. Yeah. By all means. Okay, hold on. First, let me put away this thing.
I haven't seen the software at all because when he handed it to me on the show, I think it was off.
You weren't allowed to see it yet.
Yeah.
So you are on the home screen right now. So I'm going to talk through the good while Luke sits here and twiddles his thumbs.
Thumbs and haws.
Yeah. The good. The handheld mode UI is intuitive and functional with excellent integration with the Steam platform that makes Nintendo look old-fashioned. Anthony has a little note in here. They are old-fashioned, and you can't convince me otherwise. That's fair, Anthony. Nintendo manages to
deliver
next-gen gaming experiences while living 10 to 20 years in the past. Like, I just don't I don't know how they do it. They must have like a time machine.
It's really kind
of
wild.
There are plenty of useful features, like a tweakable performance overlay provided by Mango HUD. It is so cool. Like you can actually see frame times in real time.
Okay.
It's freaking awesome.
Sweet.
The Steam Store now has a great on deck section that makes it easy to quickly find titles that are, well, great on the Steam Deck, and suspend and game save sync via Steam Cloud work awesome. But there's some bad stuff. There are some minor polish issues, such as inconsistent selection wrapping. The Steam Store doesn't yet have a good way to search for or filter titles that are compatible with, not verified for, the Steam Deck. Like, the store doesn't have just like a complete list of titles that work well on Steam Deck, which just is embarrassing, frankly, from my point of view. Steam Cloud saves don't really work together with Suspend in the way that Valve intends to make them work in the future, if what they've said is anything to go on. And the underlying Linux OS makes itself known from time to time with crashes and glitches that do, in fact, show up. Now, some reviewers are dunking on the Steam Deck for having poor battery life at full bore, but others have managed to exceed Valve's estimates via tweaking, which is one of the biggest strengths that reviewers have praised the Steam Deck for. It's hackable. It's hackable. It's customizable. It's a garden, but it is unwalled. Anyone can go in there and just plant stuff, and it's freaking cool.
Yeah.
Anthony, you fucking guy, okay? Notable Linux hater, Linus Sebastian from Linus Tech Tips, I'm reading this verbatim, has even gone so far as to use the Steam Deck as his only PC for a month to prove this point. And that starts today, by the way.
Oh.
So I recorded the video a couple of days ago, obviously, but the video was released today. So today is my commitment day. I will be using the Steam Deck as my only computer for the next month.
Okay.
I'm not at work.
So I guess we're not recovering that Halo rank.
No.
Okay.
No, I will not be playing any Halo Infinite for the next bit, unless a way of playing Halo Infinite on the Steam Deck miraculously shows up. Now, okay, hold on. Tell me something. Does streaming count? Can I stream from my computer that I own? Because I brought it up in the review. That is a legitimate way to bridge the gap, the compatibility gap.
I would say as long as it's like noted. Then, yeah, sure. Why not?
I want the community to tell me.
That's functionality of the device, right?
It is. Like, and it's awesome. Now, I haven't played with Steam Remote Play in a while. So maybe this improvement happened a while ago. But I don't know what kind of black magic Valve and AMD have cooked up with this chip. That is some impressively fast decode. Wow. Like, you know how it used to be that you could sit in front of the machine that is actually running the game and have the handheld, and you could kind of see the jello?
Yeah.
Change, like kind of like that? Nah, dog. It's really good. It's really good. They say remote play only, no Parsec. Okay, of course, that's one of the selling points. Okay, so yes, I am allowed to play Halo Infinite as long as I'm remoting into my computer. That's another thing that was really notable about the Steam Deck, and this didn't make it into the review because it was already, I think, like 20 minutes long. Like, oh my goodness, I have to cut something. And that's that the remote play experience on the Steam Deck is just really good. You know what else is nice? It's one... Hold on, let me see. It's one... 2, 3, 4 button presses to exit a game. No going back to main menu if the game developer wants you to go look at their splash screen again.
Oh, so this is
again.
Like Alt F4 equivalent.
Yeah. Cool. The game is closed.
Yeah.
Very nice.
I really like it. So something I immediately noticed was I launched into Doom. I believe this is Doom 2016. Mm-hmm. And it showed... I think while it was like installing some like compatibility layer stuff, mm-hmm. it showed the controls that I should expect to use for the game.
Yep.
I actually think that's awesome.
Super
that's
awesome.
Very cool. It reminded me of the arcade system upstairs, mm-hmm. how it will like light up, or it's supposed to, whatever. It would light up the controls that you're supposed to use for the game. It just removes like potential confusion. I think that's great.
Absolutely. It's super cool.
This is reminding me that I suck at shooters on controller, mm-hmm. But it feels great. Yeah,
I played a little bit of Halo Infinite quick play and I managed to get 3 kills, 1 death before I was like, okay, that's enough of this. Image quality wasn't great. Scaling down 4K to 720p, not amazing. I didn't test running the desktop at 1080 to see if maybe it would make some more accurate guesses. Text was basically unreadable, though. So it was pretty rough. I didn't want to focus on that use case for the initial review because, and this was something that I really struggled with in the lead up to releasing the video about it, because we had gone from this very sort of structured, planned information release that Valve was working towards, where they had the early hands-on, then they had the hardware review, and honestly, they did an amazing job of being as open as I think is reasonable for us to ask as the media, while also setting reasonable rules for what's allowed and what's not at each stage of the game. Like the fact that they allowed me to pull out the thermal camera at that early hands-on.
It's pretty surprising.
That's really surprising. I was fully expecting them to say, are you effing serious, mate? And making me put it away, right?
Yeah.
Like, they've been super cool about this whole experience. But what that meant was that finally, once the guardrails were off, there were so many different angles that I could take on this that I couldn't possibly, conceivably have enough time to cover all of them. Even though we had a solid 2 weeks, and there are a couple of things that contributed to that. One is that there's just, no matter how deeply knowledgeable you are about computers and computer hardware, you can't possibly know everything about every angle of this device.
Right.
So the way that I decided to tackle it was as a console. Here's the game. Here's the list of published games. Here's the store where you buy the games. Here's the experience of playing the games. And because we'd already reviewed the hardware, I was able to focus on the software experience and how it ties all of that together. But there are other ways you could have reviewed it.
Absolutely.
I mean, desktop mode was already enabled. You could have reviewed it as, really, I mean, this is a really great point that Anthony has in his notes here, and one that I wanted to include in the video, but like I said, I just ran out of time. You could review it as just the most potent just computer in its class. It's $400 for a quad-core Zen 2 APU.
That's crazy.
With RDNA 2 graphics, 16 gigs of RAM.
And it does technically have a screen.
And it even has a screen on it.
You can plug a keyboard and mouse super easy and just literally operate off of that. It wouldn't be like the greatest experience ever, but it'd be fine.
It'd be fine.
You add a monitor in and now, yeah, whatever.
Like, holy smokes.
Yeah.
It's a super affordable computer.
That's sweet.
Another way that you could tackle it is you could focus on it from an emulation enthusiast perspective.
For sure.
Getting emulated. I mean, the Fox has already got follow-up videos up on his channel focusing on it as an emulation device. And that's a super cool use case for it, because similar to the iNeo Next, which is my other favorite handheld right now, it's got enough power that you could actually run like Switch emulators on this thing. Like, that's super cool. That makes it capable of running basically every retro console, PS3 and down.
For people that missed out on the Wii U era, this is the best way to emulate Wii U, because it like actually matches the controller.
Absolutely, right?
Super cool.
So there's just so many ways that you can tackle a device like this, and I just couldn't realistically cover it all. And contributing to that inability to cover every possible angle was the fact that Valve kept changing things.
Yeah.
So that's really where a lot of my incomplete angle came from, was because by Valve's own admission, like both in the lead up to the hardware review and the software review, I said, look, I need a commitment from you guys for some kind of like date that we can lock down and say, okay, we are reviewing it as of this. This is the experience. So we can freeze it and review it in that state. And they were like, while I understand that to produce videos takes time, we can't do that because we've got hundreds of development units out there and developers, and we're rolling fixes. Like, they have been rolling fixes every other day, sometimes even multiple times in a single day. I've seen things.
Feels like nightlies.
Yeah, it really does. And all of that is in service of their goal to try to make this as good an experience as possible for launch. But what that also means is that Valve acknowledges that this thing ain't fully cooked yet. So that was really where that angle came from. And so that really interfered with my ability to write and shoot this review. So I actually pulled my first all-nighter in a very, very long time in order to make sure that our coverage of the Steam Deck would be as up-to-date as possible. And it's still... So the fact that it was co-hosted by me and Jake, that was because, one, I made a mistake on one or two things because I was writing this in like a fugue state at, you know, between 1 and 7 in the morning.
You stayed up till 7?
I stayed up till 7:30 in the morning, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. And part of it was that Valve actually dropped more updates on us the day that I shot it. So I was standing there. I was literally standing there on set. So this is on, to give you an idea of how tight this timeline was for this video. Hold on, let's go back here. No, don't say
one right question there. While you're looking that up. Yeah. Did you post the straw poll link on all three platforms?
I did.
Okay.
I did. Okay, so hold on. Let's go back to my March view. So on the morning of the 23rd, so that is 2 days ago. So on the night of the 22nd, I stayed up till 7:30 in the morning going, okay, I want this as close to embargo as possible so that we can include as much as possible. Like, obviously, I'd made little notes here and there. But if I had nitpicky complaints or little things that I absolutely loved or even a game that I was really enjoying, I needed to make sure that nothing was going to change in the Proton updates they were pushing or OS updates.
That was even a big problem
they were pushing.
The Linux videos we made.
It was a huge problem.
By the time those videos went live, like, so much stuff had changed. Games were magically compatible or not compatible,
yep,
all over the
exactly.
place. Like, yeah.
So
yeah.
I stayed up on the night of the 22nd. I shot on the morning of the 23rd, and that video came out the morning of the 25th. Can we just, like, take a moment to bravo the freaking team here? Because, to be honest with you guys, I shot the A-roll, and then I effed off on a ski trip. I've been gone for the last couple of days. So everything else that happened, all the pickups, all the B-roll, all the fixes, was all the team staying back here, getting it done while I was on the slopes and hanging out in the hot springs.
Awesome.
So hold on, let me just see. So here's the email that I received while I was standing on set. Press update Wednesday night. Nope. Hold on. Where's... So funny. LY, you are hilarious. Okay, 2 days ago. At 9:59 in the morning. Hi, all. Just a quick update. We've had a few questions about cloud gaming through a browser. There's a controller issue. There's a fix in the pipe. Hold on. There was an earlier one on Wednesday. Sorry, there was one at 9 a.m. on Wednesday. Happy Wednesday. We are around 48 hours from launch. Hope you're doing well. Everyone is heads down at this point, polishing the last few rough edges. We've shipped a couple of updates in the last few days, and I wanted to let you know what's changed in case it will impact your coverage or testing. So this is literally 48 hours from launch. Great on Deck store page. When you go to the store on Deck, there's a new landing page called Great on Deck. Fortunately, I stayed up till the middle of the night because that's when that rolled out to me. Otherwise, I would have had a whole section complaining about how the store doesn't have anywhere to see items that are great on
Deck. Yeah, because they said there was going to be, so it makes sense.
Okay. Multiple app switching. We added support for switching between multiple running applications through the Steam menu. Oh, well, that's non-trivial. This is great for playing a game while listening to music, chatting with friends, or even playing another indie game in the background. One small artistic license that we took in the video was that the call that Jake accidentally made to me in the middle of the night was actually a call that I accidentally made to Luke in the middle of the night. But for a number of reasons, Jake had to reshoot that section. So we changed the story. I didn't realize on Tuesday night just how flippin' late it was. And I was just like, oh, you know what? I haven't even tried this voice chat feature. And I really want a trusted third party to tell me how good the mic is, because that's honestly just the most convenient way for me to make a call as to, like, how usable this is, and, like, play around with, like, in-game volume on the fly and be like, okay, how about now? How about now? How about now? Like, getting that real-time feedback. And so I'm just like, doo-doo-doo, who's on? Oh, I'll call Luke. And it wasn't until, like, midway through the call.
Something like
that. I think that I was like, it is 1:30 in the morning. I just completely unannounced called Luke at 1:30 in the morning.
I was trying to figure out what the heck was going on because you called me on Steam. I have never in my life been called on Steam. So like actually for a decent amount of time, I actually had no idea what was happening and then figured out that it was coming from Steam, which was confusing. And then it was you. So I was like, what?
Maybe he's tried on every other platform.
Yeah, like
it's urgent. It's an emergency.
Did I miss the phone? Like what? It's 1 a.m. What's happening? And then he's just like, hey man, I'm gaming on Steam Deck. Like, okay.
I was playing this really cool RPG demo.
Yeah, that's funny.
And we, yeah. Chat's like, you can call on Steam?
Right? Yeah. And right? It was pretty good.
It was really good. I was super impressed.
Yeah. Like, it was weird.
Really impressed. The compression was not very noticeable compared to Discord. Like, should we just switch to Steam voice chat?
Honestly, for like remote WAN shows, it might be a good idea because, like you said, it did sound clearer.
It sounded really good.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like video might be an issue, but that it was, I was very impressed. Something I'm not necessarily super impressed about is Strawpoll's apparently having some serious issues. It's no longer updating and the votes are not counting in more. We're capped at 374 votes. Out of those 374, it says that 100% were no, but I have also watched Strawpoll before. If you like rapidly update, it will only add some to like one column and then it will only add to the other column and go back and forth. So as much as it would be like an interesting story to say that 100% of people were answering no, I don't think we can trust that at all. So that sucks, but it is what it is.
But yeah, so the voice chat was really great. I forget where I was going with this story. Oh yeah, right. I wasn't through the list of things that changed 48 hours before launch. As mentioned in yesterday's update, you can add non-Steam apps to the Deck UI, like Chrome, Discord, Spotify, and more from the desktop. Oh yeah, pretty minor thing. New in-game overlay. Oh, there's a new in-game overlay. New startup animation and sound. Players can now change device name. Players can now remove non-Steam shortcuts from their libraries. UI performance improvements. Improvements to the account. Battle for offline mode. Improved navigation for what's new events. Timing updates for suspend, resume, flow. Store now displays, tooltips, and a bunch of bug fixes. So it's just...
It's like a massive version upgrade.
But these were rolling like every other day.
That's crazy.
And so covering this thing has been an incredible challenge. It's been unlike almost anything that I've ever done before. But while it made it more difficult, it also made me so much more excited for it. Like, it's the same way that Tesla owners will get just so jacked when Tesla rolls a fart sound update or something like that. It's not how, you know, important that update is to your daily life.
Right.
It's that this product, it feels like it's evolving in your very hands.
And there's a lot of care.
Exactly. Like, the amount of passion that I've seen, just the responsiveness to not just emails, but to technical issues. Like, leading up to our hardware preview, the performance dashboard was broken. And we were like, well, this is going to be a problem. And there were clearly engineers, like, on it immediately. I don't think we've ever gotten engineering support from a company like this before, like ever. Like, we had a problem. It really did feel that way though, because we would have serious issues and they would turn around a fix like so quickly. And I know, and you know what it's like developing software.
Yeah.
It's not a 24-hour turnaround.
No.
Unless it's a very trivial thing, right?
Yeah.
So clearly they have been all hands on deck leading up
to this. There's some interesting things to potentially be said about Valve's like workplace culture, how they are extremely flat for the vast majority of the company, not technically all of it, but the vast majority of the company. And you can sort of decide to work on whatever you want. But if you pick something, you have to take ownership of that thing and like all this kind of stuff. I bet you there's a lot of ownership take on Steam Deck.
Absolutely.
I bet you Valve actually just like cares a lot internally. And there's probably a very skilled and big team working on it.
Something I really wanted included in the video, by the way, check this out. I did this demo in the video, so this isn't new for them. I'm just gonna put this to sleep. Holy crap.
That was fast.
Incredible, right? I'm just gonna wake it up. I am back in the game.
That was great.
freaking amazing. I'm now playing the game again. Unreal, right?
Yeah.
Sorry, Doom, not Unreal. Funny joke.
Yeah, that doesn't remind me of sleep on Windows at all, ever.
I think that Valve sees this as an existential problem to solve. And I'm going to defend that. Not because Valve is in any danger of running out of money, or because Valve's money printing machine is going to run dry anytime soon.
Right.
But for Valve to be perceived as a different kind of company than what, say, for example, Epic Games is running with the Epic Games Store, this was the next step. And it's clear that this has been in their sights for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
We just are not big brain enough to have seen it. Everything they've done, in the last 10 years lands here. Seriously, big picture. Steam controller. In-home streaming, which is now called remote play.
Even Steam VR to a certain degree.
Everything brings us to this. To Valve wanting to be a platform company as opposed to a store. And this, if I'm a developer, and there was a really good chat in Floatplane asking, how many units do you think Valve has to sell before developers seriously start to target Linux and start to target the Steam Deck? If I'm a developer and I'm salty about Valve's 30% take, all of a sudden, it's validated. I see this as such a game changer that for certain types of games, controller first, portable first games, they get enough of an install base out there. So what? I could go on Epic Games Store and...
30% is still pretty brutal.
It's pretty brutal, but it's on par with what Microsoft and Sony are doing.
I'm not saying it's not on par.
I think that you can sustain yourself at that if Valve provides you with an install base and promotes the game. Like, if they take on more of a console manufacturer role.
Right.
As opposed to just being a big fat download pipe.
Right.
And some community services that arguably were left to rot for a very long time, for years actually, before they started to kind of wake up to some competition.
Yeah.
So I see this as a significant evolution in Valve's business, where they go from being a storefront to being a game console manufacturer.
Apparently there was an update for Q1 shipping details that was posted today at 3 p.m. Happy launch day. We've seen some questions about what it means to be in the Q1 reservation group and when folks will receive their emails. So this might answer our poll that didn't work. Here's how it breaks down. All people who are in the Q1 reservation window on the Steam Deck store page will receive an order email by the end of March. Q1 is quarter one, so it goes through March. The first batch of emails has already gone out this morning. So if you're in the first batch, you have received your email already. The next batch of emails will go out Monday, March 7th. It turns out logistics work out better if we don't try to ship over a weekend. That makes sense. We'll continue sending emails to Q1 reservers in order of their reservations. And they're going to be done on a weekly basis, March 14th, 21st, 28th. In April, we'll start going through Q2 queue in similar fashion.
Cool. Okay. Yeah. So there's the update. And guys, if you're in the queue, be excited. It's not complete, but it's super cool. Super cool. You know what? Actually, I kind of have a funny story to tell about this. In my rush to get the video written, I actually forgot that I had already done some of the work. I had ran into a similar issue when I was working on the hardware review, where I just kind of wasn't really sure exactly how to tackle it. On the one hand, we weren't able to say everything that we wanted to say because the software was still embargoed and we were only allowed to run certain games and all that. And Valve did a great job of providing enough and enough variety of games that we were able to do everything we needed to do. So good guy Valve there. But I was really struggling to figure out what this video was. I even considered just trying to say everything that I could say without breaking embargo and making it the one video we did, because I felt like the software was changing so fast and was going to continue to change so fast that there wouldn't really be anything for me to say about it.
Right.
So I ended up writing an intro for the hardware video that I kind of went, no, We're going to make the hardware video just the hardware. And I think there's enough to say about the software that we're going to do a dedicated video about the software. But I think it was a really great intro that I wrote. So I was like, oh, I'll just use this for the software video. Because I feel like what I didn't do in the version that we uploaded was frame who I am and why I care about any of this and why I'm tackling it from the perspective that I am. So here's what I wrote that was supposed to be the intro of the video that we uploaded this morning. The first time I experienced handheld PC gaming was 11 days after Linus Media Group began operating as an independent company. The NVIDIA Shield used the same low latency hardware video encode and decode pipeline that powers giant cloud gaming services like PlayStation Now, Google Stadia, and Xbox Cloud Gaming. That is to say, the onboard firepower was only capable of playing casual Android games, but by borrowing the power of a nearby gaming rig, PC games could be streamed to it over Wi-Fi. This little guy got me through many a sleepless night. I actually still own my original NVIDIA Shield. Got me through many a sleepless night sitting in the nursery with my firstborn, where I fell in love with both of them. Steam Big Picture had just launched, and NVIDIA announced partnerships with game developers, including Valve. Did you remember that? That would see major games ported to their new console. I foresaw a period of disruption and rapid innovation in handheld PC gaming that would give us bigger screens, faster networking, and improved ergonomics. I got it wrong. Or at least I got all the details wrong. The innovation wouldn't be fast, and the disruptor wouldn't be NVIDIA, and the Shield is a boring box for watching Netflix now. In fact, it flopped so hard that NVIDIA not only never built a successor, oh no, this was an alternate to that paragraph, they gave its name away to a more practical product, their Android TV box. The Shield wasn't bad, it was just almost 10 years too early, and this is its replacement. And so yeah, it took almost 10 years. So it took over 9 years to go from my first experience of handheld PC gaming to PCs reaching the point where they can be this thin, this small, and you don't even need to rely on a nearby PC to run the games. It's just absolutely phenomenal. So
when you do your like iSwitched thing for this, is that going to be one video? Is that going to be weekly videos?
I think it'll be one video.
Okay.
Yeah, just one video. I'm going to switch to it for a month, and that's going to affect my gaming choices. Like, one thing that happened, one of the things I screwed up was that based on a third-party list of Steam Deck compatible games, I thought that Fable was Steam Deck compatible. And I talked in the video about how I was really excited for that because Fable is... it's been so long since I've played it that it's hard to say if it would still hold up in this way for me, but it is one of my favorite games. The first one. Launch Fable Anniversary. And so I talked about how, like, that's one of the first games I'm going to play as part of my switch to Steam Deck. And unfortunately, Jake, who was busy doing the work of validating everything that I wrote when I was like this at my computer, I turned my OLED 48 inch down to like 3% brightness because I just couldn't handle anything more than that. Everything dark mode, 3% brightness. So when Jake went to validate it, he found that, well, everything looks great, okay, but that's just pre-rendered videos. This too appears to be pre-rendered. Okay, this isn't. This is clearly in-engine, right? Okay. Continue game. That all looks great. And loading time, surprisingly good for microSD, although it is an older game. Whoops. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da! You guys can probably see the screen artifacts all over everything from here. Check this out. It's like it's Fable in the Matrix. See that? Pretty good.
Yeah, that's not great.
Yeah, not a great gaming experience.
I was wondering what that was when you first brought out the Steam Deck at the beginning of the show.
Yeah,
and I saw Fable. All the sparklies, and I thought it was some like SNES like space game or something. I thought you were emulating something. I didn't realize it was graphical artifacts.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty nasty. So either I'll play it like this, which I won't.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
No. Or I will find something else to play. And that's going to be my month, as I'll be playing games that run on the Steam Deck and talking about how that feels as a console. Once I'm done with it, I do still find that I prefer the ergonomics of the Aya Neo.
Okay.
Because it doesn't take up room for the pads that I don't know how much I'm going to use as someone who does have a full-size computer. But I'm going to have to see.
What if you're on the road?
I'm going to have to see if I get used to that. Well, I'm going to be testing it on the road as one of the first things I do with it, because I'm actually headed to New York in a couple of days.
Oh, okay.
So, I'll be bringing it with me. I'll be playing with it on the plane, and I'm super excited to Steam Deck it up over the next over the next month.
Heck yeah.
Right. I didn't talk about the critical mass that I think we have to hit for game developers to specifically target the Steam Deck and the Steam platform, as we will now know it. I think that as soon as they hit that 3 to 5, I think 5 is kind of the magic number that I have in my head. As soon as they've got 5 million Steam Decks out there, I think we are going to see developers. Because the thing is, you got to understand, game development is not something that happens overnight. You don't see, Valve moved 500,000 Steam Decks in the first quarter and go, this is definitely a thing. Valve has never flubbed a... Yeah, exactly, right? They've never flubbed an initiative before. This is definitely going to have a lasting impact. Let's spend, 2 years in development to build a game targeting this platform. You know, that's not going to happen.
I was going to say, for me, time is almost more important than total amount of shipments.
That's fair.
Just because, like you just mentioned, Valve has, started projects and never iterated on them in the past. That has happened many times. So I would want to see Valve continuing to work on it. I'd love to see a leak of Steam Deck 2.
Yeah.
If I was a developer, that would be a big moment for me. And I'd be like, okay, cool.
I mean, given how much it must have cost to get this custom silicon from AMD, I don't think Steam Deck 2 is coming out. Like, that's the thing. If this was just using off-the-shelf components, Steam Deck 2 probably would already be in development. But it's not.
I don't think it would be soon.
And so, like a console, the commitment that Valve has made to how many units they have to sell to hit this kind of pricing, because it would also have been priced way higher. I don't think we're going to see an iteration on this for at least 2 to 3 years. Like, there's just
Outside of converting current games to being compatible, doing that amount of work, I don't see work originating for games specifically for the Steam Deck being worth it until I see a much more solid commitment long term from Steam. And I'm not trying to fearmonger or dissuade people. It's just, I mean, they've dropped a lot of stuff in the past, and I'd want to see some more drive to see this through.
That's fair. I think that's totally fair. What else did we want to talk about with Steam Deck? Yeah, I guess I've talked about sort of the hellish experience of trying to cover this with up-to-date information. Did you have any thoughts to share now that you're allowed to just say whatever you want about it?
No, it felt good. I still have the same kind of type of concern that I originally had with the thumbsticks, but I also don't know of a device that is that has that much room for thumbsticks that is better.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
That is what it is. It feels pretty good.
Keeping your pre-order?
Yeah.
What do you plan to use it for? Because you mostly stay at home.
This is one of my, how I had every single prototype of the Oculus headsets.
Sure.
This is one of my, this feels like a fairly historical hardware launch.
Got it. So you want to experience it.
Yeah.
Yep. I think so too. I mean, I said in the hardware review that I believe this is the most innovative PC in 20 years. And the only reason that I went with 20 years is because that's the time that I've been paying attention to computer hardware.
Yeah.
So to go back farther than that, I would have to do a ton of research. Probably farther than that. But that was just from my own experience, what I could say with confidence.
And this is also with how much I've seen it, and I knew this when it was first announced, this is something that I'm going to want to find excuses to use, because I just find it so interesting. And the amount that they're updating and stuff, that's very interesting to me. I will follow the updates once I have one. I'm not going to follow them before then, but it's very exciting. It's very interesting, and I don't want to miss out on it, which is why I'm going to keep the pre-order.
For sure.
Speaking of not wanting to miss out, ad spots.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we should probably talk about sponsors.
Yeah.
Thanks to DigitalOcean for sponsoring today's WAN show. Cloud computing can be complex, to say the least, but reliable and affordable cloud infrastructure really doesn't have to be. And that's where DigitalOcean comes in. With DigitalOcean, you can enjoy a comprehensive portfolio of compute, storage, database, and networking products that put your cloud infrastructure in capable hands so you and your teams can get back to doing what matters most, building world-changing apps that grow your business. With predictable pricing, robust product docs, and services that developers love, DigitalOcean has you covered. Get support at every stage of growth from teams of one to teams of 1,000 with simple, powerful cloud computing. So, get growing with DigitalOcean. Go to do.co/wanshow2022 to get started for free. Again, that's do.co/wanshow2022 to get started with DigitalOcean for free.
All right, let's move on to our next big topic
here. I have one quick note about the previous topic. Someone in Flowplane chat shared a PC Gamer article with me talking about how Valve is already planning Steam Deck 2. Apparently, Gabe Newell has said in quote, speaking to Edge magazine, Newell was discussing Valve's surprise when the most expensive version of the Steam Deck proved far and away to be the most popular version of the handheld. And then in quote,
that makes sense.
That's why
me.
We always love to get something out there and ship it, because we learn a lot from that and it helps frame our thinking for Deck 2.
There
Which
you
is
go.
A pretty promising quote. He's talking about framing thinking and stuff. Yeah. So I don't exactly think it's
they are laser focused on Deck 1 right now.
Yes.
I can tell you that much.
That's what I was going to say. Like, I would assume they're not actually working on it yet. But I'm sure they're taking notes. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Very exciting. And I can tell you that their competitors aren't sitting still either. I'm on WhatsApp with the CEO of Aya. And I'm like, hey, so Steam Deck, pretty competitive. And basically, I mean, I don't know if you know this, but their Indiegogo went live, I think, yesterday or the day before. And they've already raised $500,000.
I was going to say, I really hope that this is one of those situations where a big dog entering the arena just adds legitimacy to the space as a whole and adds interest to alternative products as well, because that would be cool.
I hope so too, because I still think there's a place for what they're doing.
Yeah.
They have things that the Steam Deck doesn't. Hall sensor joysticks, for one thing. Much better haptics than the Steam Deck, which Valve, by their own admission, didn't focus on. I would like to see someone come out with an OLED display. The Aya Neo Next has Zen 3 cores instead of Zen 2 cores. It's priced way higher. But what that means to me when I look at how many backers have supported that project already is that there's absolutely going to be a market for not just more and less premium, but differentiated devices. Because that's the thing about a handheld, and we've seen this in phones. It's so much more personal,
for sure,
I think, than a desktop computer. Desktop computer, I mean, what? Like, the size?
Yeah, I mean, and then, I think a lot of it's going to come in peripherals, right?
Yeah, how much money you want to spend on it, right? It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
But that's exactly it with these. Just like peripherals, it's so personal.
Yeah.
For me, the grip of the Steam Deck, it's just, if I'm playing a racing game, it's a bit of a reach for me to hold the thumbstick here, and my thumb will start to slip. Whereas if I had larger hands, I'd be right here comfortably on it.
Yeah.
The Aya Neo, and maybe this is just, you know, the market that they cater to more is in Asia. It is designed for smaller hands.
This is my problem.
Oh, you can't really comfortably reach the paddles.
Yeah. So I have to like claw my fingers in really hard to get to the paddles on the back, because my natural resting position for my hands is like
way over
the vent. So I have to like claw in to be able to press these.
Okay.
It's not even close to a game breaker.
Yeah.
Like, I totally fine.
But there's absolutely going to be a market for different devices for different people.
Yeah.
And people will pay a huge premium for, admittedly, very similar performance between the Neo Next and the Steam Deck for something that serves their purposes better.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about the chip shortage could get worse. Turns out Ukraine supplies 90% of the neon used in U.S. semiconductors. Neon is a noble gas used by the lasers that etch silicon wafers. No neon, no laser, no etch, no tasty chips for PCs, phones, and cars. When Russia previously invaded in 2014, preceding the Crimean annexation, the price of neon shot up 600%. Making matters worse, Russia supplies over 30% of global palladium. Palladium is a rare platinum group metal used in semiconductors and many other industries, including catalytic converters, mobile phones, and even dental fillings. Ukraine and Russia also lead the world in production of metals like nickel, copper, platinum, and iron. Oh, I mean, I don't think I have to explain what copper is used for in electronics.
When the whole world is so linked and unified in global trade.
It's almost like war is bad.
Yeah.
Hopefully that doesn't qualify as a hot take. Can we be on the same page about that? Hopefully, I think. The Conversation reports that chipmakers currently hold 2 to 4 weeks of inventory reserve, but prolonged supply disruption could severely impact production of semiconductors and everything else that depends on them. And that is just the tech sector. Global food prices already on the rise are undoubtedly going to get worse as Ukraine and Russia together account for more than a quarter of global wheat exports. Wheat prices spiked sharply following the start of the war. And while the U.S. and Canada produce wheat, countries like Turkey and Egypt import 70% of their wheat from that region. Ukraine is also the top supplier of corn to China. Global transportation networks have been disrupted by the rerouting of traffic around Ukraine, and a non-zero amount of foreign shipping has already been attacked in the Black Sea, including Turkish and Japanese transports. Natural gas and oil, big exports for Russia, which is now being limited by sanctions. Again, Canada and the U.S. are oil producers, but much of Europe depends on the Russian supply. If Russia gets ejected from the SWIFT global banking network, that's, I think, seen as a bit of a red button to press.
Yeah, that's a big one.
This could seriously affect the ability of any entity to purchase Russian gas. This is part of why especially Germany and Italy have been reluctant to support the move until recently.
Big time for Germany.
Yes. Bonus breaking news related micro story. NVIDIA just got hit by a cyber attack, and it says that parts of its business are completely compromised, according to the Telegraph. It is unclear if any data was stolen or deleted, or if it was simply a disruption, and security experts have concerns that something may have been attached to a driver/software package. There are no suspects, but this comes as Russian cyber attacks on Ukraine intensify.
I will also say there, as far as I've seen, are genuinely no suspects. There is nothing painting this as a Russian cyber attack.
So yeah.
The timing is extremely suspect, obviously.
Yes.
And it totally could be, but like, just, you know.
Yeah. Extra story. Anonymous leaks Russian Ministry of Defense database. There's a lot sort of going on right now. Thank you, Anthony. It's almost like there's a war and there's a lot of news happening all at once on this subject.
Yeah. It's mostly like emails and names and stuff like that. It's not like, you know, when you say Russian military defense database, you can make a lot of assumptions about what might be in there. It's mostly emails and names. Yeah.
Yep. Again, war bad. That is going to be my take. In other news, Trump launches Truth Social.
Nice.
Logo appears to be plagiarized.
Perfect. There's also some funny stuff. Like, honestly, I don't know how you get around things like this, but it's funny anyways. When you set up an account, you get put on a wait list, and it says, like, you're not just another number to us, but also here's your number, because you're in a wait list. Which is, again, I don't know how you get around stuff like that, but it's just kind of funny. Yeah.
Should we talk about this at all? So he got shut down everywhere else, so he made his own app called Truth Social. It launched on the Apple App Store Monday at midnight. The rollout support has apparently been terrible.
Just because the wait list is so long, I think.
Yeah, apparently it should be fully operational by end of quarter, but people are slowly getting on. They're partnered with Rumble. Many prominent right-wing personalities are already on there, like Sean Hannity, Dan Bongino, and Charlie Kirk. The logo is very clearly ripped off from a British company, Trailar. Trailar Fleet Telematics and Fuel Efficiencies. Here, let's go ahead and... I don't know. I mean, that's just a T. I guess it's definitely similar.
It's a very similar tea.
Great to see Donald Trump supporting a growing sustainability business. Oh, it's very similar.
It's quite similar.
So they added a green block.
There's a little green dot. Yeah.
I mean, they could have at least had the color be different. Yikes. Okay. Anyway, I mean, at least it's not a speech that got ripped off, you know, from Michelle Obama.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So that's a thing that happened this week. So I actually already have a hot take on this. So this isn't a new hot take. I'm just going to reiterate my hot take. I think that the biggest impediment to Truth Social is going to be that it's just going to be boring.
Oh, because it's very echo chamber.
I think that people want to argue. Mm. And I've seen some takes that are where I've seen people not agree with that and basically say, look, I mean, you take a bunch of right wingers or a bunch of left wingers and you put them all in a room together, they're just going to fight amongst themselves because those are the types of people who like to fight on the internet. They're just going to fight on the internet and fight with someone. So if you have you take a bunch of right wingers, then all of a sudden it's like, you know, root out the rhino, right? Or you take left wingers, it's like you are not woke enough. You know, they'll just find ways to divide amongst themselves into more right
people and seeking conflict,
less right, more left, yeah. And less left.
Speaking of the censorship stuff, which I think is a conversation that comes up with True Social, these are a little bit off topic, but censorship stuff around what's going on in Ukraine has been interesting.
Yeah.
Facebook censored a bunch of different Russian news agencies, and Russia responded by, I think, fully or partially, I don't have the notes in front of me, so I'm sorry, but fully or partially blocking Facebook in Russia. What is it? Is it on here?
Yeah, it's a topic.
Oh, okay. I didn't actually know that. Facebook, where are you? That's not what I typed.
You'll find it. I believe in you.
There we go. Yeah, Facebook censors Russian media, gets blocked in Russia. And then on the other end of the coin, sort of, and I definitely don't have the notes for this in front of me, but the anonymous post that announced that they got the Russian defense database, the first one that went out on Twitter, which included a mega link for the download of it, was removed by Twitter because it violated Twitter's policies. Tweet went back up without the mega link, and then that has been allowed to stay. So it's like it's really interesting seeing how things sort of play out.
Remove restrictions, explaining that Facebook Meta apparently ignored the request, hasn't publicly confirmed the actions it took against Russian media. Now the Russian government has partially blocked Facebook.
I'm not sure what partially blocked means.
Yeah, me neither.
Like, I don't know what that functionally does.
Nicholas put a discussion question in here for us. This isn't a question. I just think it's hilarious that for the longest time, Facebook refused to do anything at all about misinformation stateside, particularly regarding that which targets Republicans and conservatives and is often coming from Russia. But now Russia's misinformation is deemed bad and gets taken down. Who watches the watchmen? Anthony's take on this. The question has a hint of whataboutism, but is valid. There really needs to be some kind of agreed upon standard by which misinformation is dealt with because the current system's not working. That's 100% correct.
It's interesting, man.
I mean, everything, it's funny, like there's been a lot of discussion over the last few years, really, about how, you know, we're a tech show and why are we talking about politics or why are we talking about global events? And the reality of it is tech is what binds this fragile society that we all live in together. And
the biggest sanction also being held over this whole situation is Swift, which is a tech backend.
Exactly. And so it can also tear us apart, and it just, whether we like to or not, all of a sudden we're kind of drawn into it because everything is tech. Show me something that's not technology at this point in the world.
Yeah. That company that has a black and orange logo shut down. Not, I wouldn't say they shut down Russian access, but they blocked it and they dump you on a page with a Ukrainian flag.
Which, who is this?
Black and Orange Logo Company.
Black and Orange Logo Company. Nope, not familiar.
Hub?
Oh, that one.
Yeah.
Did they really?
I genuinely don't know because, I mean...
You know what? I'm going for it.
I mean, you wouldn't see it.
Oh, hold on. Do I have PIA on here? Oh, I've got it on my phone. Okay, I'm going to try. Okay. Live. We're trying to get on the hub. Hold on. VPN. I wonder if I can even use a Ukraine endpoint VPN right now.
No, it would have to be Russian.
Oh, it have to be... Right. Oh, well, there's got to be a Russian. Oh. Nope. There are no Russian endpoints? Really? Kind of makes sense at the moment. Okay. Yep. Nothing. We got
so one of the Bolton chat said books or tech too. Yeah, I mean if you want to go down the chain, there's a it's like practically everything.
Kazakhstan.
Language is tech.
No Russia. And Israel is down. Okay then. Can anyone All right. from Russia confirm?
That would be epic.
Sakutera says, very non-controversial today. Thank you. Thank you. I really am trying.
Yeah.
I really am trying to be non-controversial today.
On some maybe lighter news, it's fake news. Oh, that sucks.
Okay.
I thought it was funny.
Well, then let's do some good news, okay? Yeah.
PlayStation VR?
We've got a new item on LTVStore.com. That's right. If you love our CPU pillows, but you don't like that they are modeled after Intel, we now have a solution for you. The CPU Pillow Team Red Edition. That's right. It's based on their AM4 processors and is available in three different sizes. There's our classic short circuit banana for scale. So we've got a little tiny... Oh, yeah, Luke's got it. Is that that? No, where's that? Yeah, there we go. We've got a little tiny tabletop one. So it starts at $19.99. Then we've got a much larger sort of couch-sized one. Oh, no, where's the medium-sized one?
What did I do with it? Oh, there it is.
We've got a medium-sized one that's like kind of decorative. You put it on a shelf or whatever. And then we've got a couch-sized one. And you can see there's some new details in it. So you got your heat spreader here. You've got your package right here. Then you've got your pins on the bottom. That's right. Lloyd worked long and hard to sort of represent pins in pillow form. I think he pretty much nailed it here. So we are launching the Team Red Edition version.
I guess this
could be like a hemorrhoid pillow.
Oh. Yeah.
This is not a medical device. I am not a medical professional. But I could see how that could
There was
be.
Someone in Flowplane chat today at the beginning of the show that asked, like, why isn't there like
secret pocket?
More representative pillow versions from AMD. And I was like,
boy, do we ever have a surprise for you.
We've got an announcement.
Why is there a hole in the middle of the AMD pillow and not Intel's? Because Intel's is flat on the bottom and AMD's has pins around and then has a blank spot in the bottom. So we wanted to represent the Team Red CPU design as best as we could.
Yeah.
Does the water bottle fit in the small pillow hole? No, I can't say that it does. The pillow hole is pretty small. Here's a pretty good look at it right here. So there's a pair of AirPods in the 15 by 15 one. And then do we have a picture of the pillow? There you go. So it's a little bigger on that one. Oh, for crying out loud. Okay.
It totally does. You just have to get a big enough pillow.
Are you planning an epic edition with 100% alpaca wool filling? The alpaca wool, the 100% alpaca wool one has generated complaints about the smell. It does go away. Like if you just leave it outside, not outside, like in the rain, obviously, but if you like leave it in the sun or let it air out for a week and a half, the smell does go away, but it's created enough initial complaints from people who don't want to wait a week for their pillow to not stink that we probably won't do another all alpaca wool run. So if you want to get an extreme edition or excuse me, an expensive edition pillow, then that's going to be it. That's the one. Okay. That's our Neo.
Should we do some... should we do some alerts?
Yeah.
Some merch messages?
Yeah,
really
we should. Or should we do that last topic first?
Sure. I was going to do like a kind of intermediary.
Oh, sure. But... Let's do a couple merch messages then. Chris L. says, what would you change about the ATX standard or how computers are built today? For me, it's the GPU power cable, ugly and chunky. I mean, that's something Apple fixed with the Mac Pro, just running it through the extra pins that they have on the back of the PCI Express slot. I don't know that I'd want to take up PCB space for that. What would you change?
I'm trying to think. Yeah, I don't know. It's pretty functional.
Yeah, I'm sort of partial to double-sided PCBs. Like, there's that really cool board from, I forget who makes it. We did a video about it a little while back where the CPU socket's actually on the back. So I think that if there was a commitment to a form factor like that, where the CPU and memory is all like flat mounted on the back and you can just run cooling tubes to it, and then you could have like way more PCIe slots on the other side, like an ultimate expansion type build. I think something like that would be really cool, but
I feel like sales on that would be really limited.
Yeah, though. It really would be. I feel like we've sort of reached a point where it's pretty good for pretty much everything people need to do.
Yeah, like there's some neat ideas, but I don't think they'd be commercially viable, and that is actually pretty important. You need it to be commercially viable.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, one more thing for the store. If you guys are interested in the Privateer shirt, we are turning off sales, I believe, today or tomorrow. Like soon, imminently. So if you want to pick up a Privateer shirt, now is absolutely the time to get it. Mark T says, would you please cover the part where you guys dual boot Windows 11 on Steam Deck and also productivity on SteamOS? Well, productivity on SteamOS is actually going to be quite excellent. It should be very similar to what I was running with Manjaro and KDE Plasma. So it's Arch-based, which Manjaro is also Arch-based, but they are not to be confused with each other. But you'll be able to use the Arch user repository. You'll be able to use Flatpak, so you can install pretty much most apps that you would need for productivity. And then the desktop experience, KDE Plasma, it's like very intuitive. I mean, what even do you do with your desktop environment these days anymore? Like almost everything I do is in a browser other than games. So it just makes very little difference to me personally.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, okay, there were some annoyances that I found, like file copying issues and stuff like that.
Right.
But hi, Nick, what can I do for you? Nick decided to visit.
I was just going to ask if you talked about the Privateer shirt going away.
We did. I just did. I covered
probably
it.
While you were walking here. Twitter thing?
Twitter thing.
On Twitter.
Which Twitter thing?
The design.
There's a design on Twitter?
Yeah.
Oh.
You can download.
Oh, that's right. Yes, in true Privateer spirit, we've actually made the... Hold on.
Download a car.
Yeah.
Would you download a t-shirt?
So we have made the full artwork, like full quality artwork available on Google Drive. So if you want to, if you Buccaneers out there miss out on this shirt, you can plunder your own with this design file.
It's not an NFT. What? That's cool. I like that.
So if you want to do a Privateer poster or whatever the heck it is that you want to do, you can absolutely use the artwork and do whatever you want with it. Consider this my express permission to reproduce it for personal use as many times and as often as you want to. If you use it commercially, we will come after you. All right, cool. All right.
Bye. You too.
What else we got here? You wouldn't download a shirt. Charles L. Hey, I was wondering if you still planned on reviewing the Sofa Baton V2 and why Yeo remotes mentioned in the Black Friday stream as Logitech Harmony replacements. I do want to check them out. I think we did order them, but I have not gotten around to looking at them yet. I will once we get moved into the new place, though, and I need a universal remote solution, though, in all likelihood.
Someone in Floatplane chat added me and said, make an NFT platform that allows theft. It's like, I think that's like photo bucket.
Yeah, every NFT platform.
Yeah.
Marquez, hey guys, been watching since 2015. I'm a field tech at our local school system. I work on multiple projectors and OEM business PCs with tight spaces. Will the LTT screwdriver have a flexible driver set for tight spaces? Not this one.
Well, a lot of them are adapter based, right?
Yes. So nothing would prevent you from plugging one of those into it, but it will not include it.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a screwdriver.
Yeah, I'll just get a different one.
Just
a
super solid screwdriver. Jacob W. Hey, Luke, is there any keyboard that you could recommend as a replacement for my trusty IBM Model M? Oh. That's tough, because if you like the IBM Model M, there's like...
It's pretty unique. Also, the keyboard space is extremely...
diverse?
Yeah, that's a good way of saying it. There's so much stuff these days. Like, it used to be pretty simple, you know? There really wasn't all that many options. And now there's an incredible amount of options, which is great. But I can't recommend you one thing. There's way too many preferences at hand.
I mean, if you just want that again, then Unicomp is kind of the way to go.
Oh, well, yeah.
But if you want to expand your horizons a little bit, which I would recommend, you can order sampler, sampler switch things that you can kind of try out all the different ones and see what shines and sparkles for you.
Yeah. It won't be a perfect representative experience, but it'll help a bit. I don't think he wants like the same thing, because he said my trusty Model M, which I'm assuming means it still works.
Fair enough.
But I'm not sure. I don't know.
Have you tested the Steam Deck much in docked/desktop mode? I didn't. And the reason for that was that, like I said,
that's the month.
With only a couple of days, right? You know, once I've kind of gone, okay, hopefully this is all the updates I'm going to get. Now let's start evaluating the experience in detail. I couldn't possibly hope to look at it from every possible perspective. So I just decided, you know what? I'm going to leave that out and I will cover it later.
Yeah.
Mark C says...
Just don't get Cherry MX Browns.
Do you think... Why? Why you got to be like that?
Because they suck, dude.
Why you got to be like that?
They're bad.
They suck and they're bad.
What it's the only mean? Part of the keyboard space that is not, you know, it's not objective. It is objective. The rest of it is subjective.
You're so full of crap.
Browns just suck.
You're so full of crap. Right? what a dick.
I'm kidding. Whatever. Do whatever you want. You should going the route that Linus mentioned, or if you have a local computer store that has a tester at it, so you don't have to buy your own. It's a great idea.
What a troll. Mark Z says, do you think the mass adoption of the Steam Deck and the acceptance of it as a baseline for PC performance might help PC optimization get better, especially on systems with integrated graphics? Absolutely.
Someone in Floatplane chat's like, I've lost all respect for you. Come on.
Neil L says, I have the expensive edition, the Threadripper, and now the AM4 CPU pillow. But you know what's missing? A GPU body pillow. It would be so expensive. Even if it wasn't stuffed with alpaca wool, it would cost a freaking fortune.
What if you sold like the sleeve?
The sleeve? Oh, and then people could just fill it themselves? You know, we have a project kind of like that coming.
I think I can guess what that is.
Not ready to talk about it yet, though. It's still early enough stages that... If someone saw how we're planning to do it, they could be like, oh, that's a really good idea. And probably beat us to market because we're going kind of slow because we have a lot of stuff that we're slowly pushing forward right now. But I'm very excited about it. It's kind of like a provide your own filling product of a certain sort. GPU body pillow would be pretty sick though. Camel Preet says, I've been meaning to get these water bottles forever. Glad I could finally pull the trigger. Hey, heck yeah. Oh, that was pushed to stream already. Jack C. Hey, Linus and Luke. I've been a fan since the beginning of the pandemic. What kind of music, if any, do you guys like to listen to? Oh, boy. Ready for an eclectic playlist? This is my current playlist. We've got Wish You Were Here by Avril Lavigne, Surface Pressure from Encanto, Who I Am, Jessica Andrews, Used To, Daughtry, Around the World by A Touch of Class, Battlefield, Jordan Sparks. This is actually my current playlist. Omabala Sheree, Prozac, The Wire, Haim. Beautiful Life from the motion picture Abominable soundtrack. Couldn't be better, Kelly Clarkson. All Out of Love, Air Supply. I don't think it gets much more random than that.
Yeah, I don't know. My YouTube music is a wreck because... to calm the birds down, I play music.
Right.
So like I've found Like, my one bird really, really likes Baba Yetu, the intro song to Civilization 4.
Yeah.
The other bird really likes, like, weeb anime music.
Got it.
They do not both like either of those.
Fantastic.
Like, if I play one of them, the one will get super hyped, the other one will just sit there bored. They both really like sea shanties.
Oh, that's very unfortunate.
So my most played thing is like Assassin's Creed 4, Black Flag, Sea Shanties. And there are certain songs on there that drive me absolutely nuts at this point. I hate it. It drives me crazy. So yeah, my my recommendations are all weird because like almost all of it's various sea shanties.
That's extremely unfortunate. I'm so sorry to hear that.
It's a little rough, yeah.
Yeah. I've had people questioning why there's no rock. I don't know if Bryan Adams counts as rock, but there's a lot of that in there later on. Love Bryan Adams. One of the few artists I've been to see live twice. So good. Just so good. One of our Canadian boys.
Last topic, or we do this one?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, no, this is the last one. Okay, cool. Yeah, last topic.
Oh, someone asked if we have any more board books in the works, and that was apparently pushed to stream. We're always working on new things. Okay, I can give you a more detailed answer on that one. I am supposed to be. Technically, there is a spreadsheet for it. I can show you the progress I've made so far, if you'd like. Book. Let's try book. Kid book ideas and themes. Here we go. So hopefully I'm not showing anything too. Oh, well, here's kind of a fun behind the scenes. This was different themes that we discussed for the first ABC book. Electronics, so, you know, alternating current, binary, circuit board, DRAM, earth, ground, or electricity, IT, ASIC, BIOS, cache. We thought that one was kind of cool. Mobile, general technology, more developer-oriented. So there were a lot of different kind of themes that we discussed. Retro gaming. We were worried about, for example, here, worried about trademark infringement and stuff like that. We wanted something that we could keep really generic. So here are a bunch of different things that didn't make it into the gaming one. A is for anti-aliasing or AFK. B is for bump map. C is for chroma subsampling. D is for DirectX, so that was a trademark potential issue, or D-pad. I think D-pad's what we ended up with. E is for eye tracking, experience points, Easter egg. Easter egg would have been a fun one. So here's kind of R is for ray tracing, RGB, render, lots of different ideas that we had. Here's what's supposed to be the next one, counting computers. So this is as far as I've gotten. Clearly not as much progress as I made on the ABC book. Something about how there's a typo, how computers are all around us, and anything that computes is a computer, then all the pages are counting different computers. Yep, that's it. That's my progress so far for counting computers. Someday I will actually write it. The stupid thing is it doesn't even take me that long to write this kind of stuff. Like, little rhyming couplets have always come pretty easily for me. But I just haven't had time. It's just been so many other things to do. It's tough. Ugh. LSR asks, that's embargoed. LSR, I cannot answer your question. Linus, the only author to write books in Excel. Okay, now hold on a second. Did I actually? I don't think I actually wrote it here in it. And it's not Excel, it's Google Sheets. Oh, wait. I did. Yep. I did actually write the book in a spreadsheet. So these were the top three candidates for every letter. And actually there's some draft copy in here. You can see that I'm just like working on rhymes. Run, sun, ton, one, bun, done, fun. The skybox darkens, fully fades. I obviously didn't come up with something for that. Hit the hay, recharge for another day. Tomorrow's your greatest adventure yet. Okay, little gamer, story's done. Get some sleep, my little one. Oh, yeah, that was not a bad one, but then I decided to do a two-line one for the last one. If you need help to beat the boss, use this. Avoid another loss. That was alternate copy for W is for walkthrough. Actually, a lot of them probably have... and his friend PCs. Rewards for armor. Some say they're lazy. I don't mind. The lazy stuff will give you stuff. Oh, yeah. You can tell why that didn't make it.
Thanks, I'm a flanker.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah, it's really fun to work on this kind of stuff for me. B is for buttons. Now that the machine is fed, can you touch the one that's red? I settled on pushing these is fun to do. Can you touch the one that's blue? I got Nick's feedback for a lot of this, just like, hey, which one do you think is the best? Stuff like that. Gradient Lol asks, are you a Kanye fan? I don't know. I haven't really
He's in the news right now.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, what now?
I don't know all the details.
Oh, man.
Wanting to go to Russia or something, but I don't know if it's even real.
Okay. Sure. That's...
In other news, it's Sony's PlayStation VR 2. Very, very interesting. OLED displays running at 2000 by 2040 per eye at 90 hertz and 100 hertz refresh rates. Funky round dual controllers with haptic feedback and adaptive triggers. Capacitive sensors and six-axis motion sensing. 110 degree field of view. Eye tracking. Things are good. Inside LUT, single USB connection. It's not like going to be the most amazing thing ever, but... I'm happy that we're seeing a PlayStation VR 2, like, at all.
Yeah.
That's very cool to me.
Yeah, that confirms, like, VR is not going anywhere in the console space, and Microsoft needs to either figure it out, or I guess Windows is their play there, or whatever.
It's also good that there's just still other players in the space. That
absolutely.
Are big, you know? Yeah.
Someone other than just Facebook.
Yeah.
OLED display, man.
Yeah, that's good. That's real good.
Like, oh man, I'd be tempted to see if there's a way to like hacksaw it to work on PC or something at that point. That'd be freaking awesome. That's the one thing about the Index, I mean, other than being stuck with the tether, that I would absolutely just pay Index money for again. OLED display upgrade, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
And then the last thing was, if a monkey can't sue, neither can you. HAL 9000, US denies copyright protection to AI-produced works. Last week, the US Copyright Office rejected a request to let an AI copyright a work of art. After review, the board at the USCO determined that art that is made primarily by AI is not copyrightable due to a lack of human authorship.
This is going to get muddy. Because primarily by AI is vague. So we're going to have to see what precedent says primarily by AI is.
Do we seriously have a Kanye emote on Floatplane?
No, I think people are inserting that.
Got it. Anyway, sorry, carry on.
Once one person does it, it's very easy to copy.
Got it.
Yeah. We definitely do not. I don't know. It's really interesting. Copyright law doesn't have any direct rules for non-humans. Past rulings have shown that courts aren't a fan of protecting works created by animals or divine beings. It's generally has to be made by a human. There has already been questions raised like, what if I made the AI? Does that not mean that what the AI makes is mine? Well, seemingly no.
Got it.
But we're not really sure. Again, primarily by an AI is too vague. So we'll have to see just how this goes. Yeah.
There's a lot of discussion questions here. Like, Tom Scott used an algorithm to create concepts and titles for YouTube videos. Would LTT ever do this?
Yeah, it says in here that...
a little easier.
Yeah. The tech that he used to do that is not available to other people right now. And I believe he does not have it anymore either.
No, it was just temporary access to it.
Very interesting. Basically everything he does is very interesting. But that was a very cool video.
And
that's kind of it.
I think I made it out of here unscathed.
Nice.
No controversy. And there's just one more merch message. Michael K asks, specifically, what are you most excited about with the Labs project? P.S. My son loves your book. I am most excited about... what am I most excited about? I'm most excited about working with the team that we're building there. We've got some really, really promising hires. Like,
by the way, probably really next exciting. Week, we need to sit down and talk about the
MVP for the thing. Yeah.
You're... And non-MVP, because that will drive hiring decisions.
Yeah. Can we just stop hiring for just a little bit?
I mean, that's your call, dude.
Nah, it's not, though. People are all like, I need more resources. And I'm like, resource. I don't know, man.
Yeah, it's rough. Yeah, my team size is going to kind of balloon.
I know.
It's interesting.
My brain hurts.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. For those of you who sent super chats, my sincere apologies. I cannot see them. They're supposed to be here under viewer activity. That's why you should send merch messages. Oh, by the way, we figured out why merch messages don't show up for some people. Luke, what was the technical explanation for that?
Shop Pay. Don't use Shop Pay. If you have, if you're signed into Shop Pay, there's a button. It looks like it's just like a hypertext link that says check out as guest. Do that.
Jay Lebowski, the dude, I upgraded to a paid G Suite account ages ago because we ran out of free seats for Linus Media Group like many years ago. And I think that's the end of the show. Oh, dang it. One more merch message. Sheldon, any chance on bundling shirts? A pick and choose option of like three or more. I love getting my news from LMG. Honestly, probably not. I mean, we already go pretty aggressive on shirt prices. They are printed here in Canada, so that makes the cost higher than if we had it done overseas. And compared to a lot of other merch, I think our pricing is really aggressive at $19.99 US. And you can get mystery ones for as little as, I think, $14. So if you're less concerned about the exact designs, you can get like a few mystery shirts and you should get three different things. And if you're more concerned about the designs, I think we're pretty fair about it, especially given the quality of the shirts. All right. Thanks for tuning in, guys. See you again next week. Same bad time, same bad channel.
Bye.
Oh,
we're still alive.
Oh man, I am so tired. I'm not fully recovered from that all-nighter. I'm not young like that anymore. I can't do that anymore.